Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and reading from verse 17 to verse 19. Luke chapter 17, from verse 17 to verse 19. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And our subject this morning is the Blessed One in 10. The Blessed One in 10. And we consider these words before us in the 17th chapter of the Gospel, according to Luke. It is an account of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as we all know, the incarnate God, and his meeting with a group of lepers, 10 lepers to be exact. And this is, in many ways, an intriguing passage of Scripture, very thought-provoking. And I hope in the brief time that we have this morning to provoke you to think upon this passage in a way that will be of spiritual benefit to you, in a way that you can apply to yourselves. But just to remind you, it was our scripture reading, our second scripture reading, but just to remind you what happens. The Lord, at this point in his ministry, as we read in verse 11, he is making his way to Jerusalem for the last time, of course, and he passes through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. That is to say that he travels along the border or the boundary of those two regions, and he enters into a certain village, which is not named, in verse 12, and there he meets 10 men that were lepers. Now, leprosy, of course, I'm not going to spend a long time explaining this. Many of you will know what leprosy was. It was a terrible sickness, a terrible affliction, a skin disease that led to disfigurement of the skin and of the bones. The limbs became twisted. There was a characteristic claw hand. If you had leprosy, you had hands like claws. And it was very infectious. So you couldn't live openly in society. If you had leprosy, you couldn't live freely like everyone else. You had to live with other lepers in a leper colony. And you had to keep your distance from everybody else. And well, we see this even here. The 10 men that were lepers, they stood afar off because they had to. They couldn't come near to anybody else. And if anyone came too near to them, they would have to warn them. They would have to cry, "Unclean, unclean," because they were lepers. And so this is the case here. 10 lepers, they stood afar off. But when they see Jesus, well, we read in verse 13 what they say. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So they don't cry, "Unclean, unclean." They cry something else. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They see the Lord, and they no doubt know that he is a great healer. This is, as I've already mentioned, this is the third year of Christ's earthly ministry, and so many people in Galilee and all the regions round about Galilee knew of the Lord. They knew of his miracles. They knew of his power to heal. And so these 10 men no doubt knew all about him. And they cry, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And look at what the Lord replies to them in verse 14. When he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Well, now this is amazing. The Lord says to them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." This is very interesting because for a leper to show oneself, to show themselves to the priest, you would only do that if you were healed of your leprosy. You wouldn't go to the priest with your leprosy on you. You would go and show yourself to the priest only if you were healed, only if the leprosy had left you. Then you would go to the priest, and it would be the priest who would then declare that you are clean. So that was the reason why you would go to the priest if you had been healed. But it's amazing, isn't it, that these lepers, they, on the way to go and see the priest, then they are cleansed. This is amazing. We could have spent the whole sermon on this passage. The lepers, the application is very clear. The lepers, when they obeyed the Lord, then the blessing came. Even though they weren't healed, they weren't healed when the Lord gave the commandment, go and show yourselves unto the priests. They had no real reason to show themselves to the priests. They could have said, we're not healed. We can't go to the priest. You haven't healed us. But they didn't do that. They just obeyed the Lord. They didn't quibble. They didn't question. They obeyed the Lord. And that's the first application we can make, isn't it? If we want true blessing from the Lord, we have to obey. We have to obey the Lord. If we want to see true blessing in our lives, we have to show that obedience. No questioning, no quibbling. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I can't do that. If you just obey, if you just head out on the way to obedience, he will bless you. You trust in him. It's a picture even here. They weren't healed, but it was because they obeyed. Then on their way, they were cleansed. That is a wonderful lesson. This is how we are to respond to the Lord, to respond to the gospel message, of course. Those of you who are unsaved, you don't know the salvation of the Lord. You don't know the blessing of the Lord. You have to obey God if you want to know the blessing. You have to obey the call. Repent and have faith. What are you waiting for? You don't have to wait for a sign in the sky. You don't have to wait for a feeling within you. Just obey. I will repent. I will believe in the Lord. And then as you're on your way, then you will be saved. Dear friends, this is the gospel application. I'm making it way too early. I'm getting way ahead of myself. But this is so wonderful, even that verse. But it isn't the end of the account, of course not. So on the way to go and see the priests, they are all cleansed, but that isn't the end of it. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So one of the ten, only one, went back to the Lord, fell down on his face and gave him thanks. And in verse 17, look at the Lord's words. Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are all the others? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Well, that's the account. What an intriguing account. You know, it almost reads like a parable. When you read it, you have to say to yourself, remind yourself, this isn't a parable. It reads like a parable. But it's not presented as a parable. This is actually something that happened. There were 10 lepers. They were all cleansed. Only one came back. And so, well, what can we learn from this account? There's always much to learn from everything that we read in the scriptures, always much to apply to ourselves. What can we learn from this account here? Has it got anything to teach us? Well, I have a number of headings this morning, 4 headings, I think. And God willing, this will help us understand a bit more about this passage of scripture. Well, the first heading, this account teaches us, of course, the importance of giving thanks. The importance of giving thanks. This man, the Samaritan, that one man He came back to do what? To give thanks. How important it is to give thanks to God. That's the first point, very simple. We must give thanks to the Lord for all that we have, for all that we are. Everything that is in your life comes from the Lord. Everything, your possessions, your family, your friends, your health, your strength, your very life, the reason why you are breathing this day, this morning, you have to give thanks to the Lord because it is all because of Him. He is our Creator, of course. He is the very source of life. There would be no living things at all if it were not for the Lord. And not only has God given us life, but He is ruling over everything. He is ruling over all things. There is nothing by chance, nothing by accident. And so the very fact that you are alive this day is because of the Lord, dear friends. Sometimes, I say this from time to time, sometimes you meet elderly people and they are very happy with themselves that they've got to a very old age, and they will credit themselves because I've looked after myself, because I've ate well, I've always had a good diet, I've kept myself in good trim. Dear friends, that is not the reason why you get to an elderly age. It's because of the Lord. He is the one who watches over us. He is the one who keeps us. Anything could have happened to you in your life. Well, you don't even need me to remind you things that have happened even recently in the news. Healthy people, people thinking they will have a long life, they're cut off all of a sudden. But that hasn't happened to you. Is that chance? No, of course not. It's the Lord. You have to give thanks to the Lord. You must praise Him. You must worship Him because He has given you all things freely. And well, of course, it's for all men. It's not just Christians. The Lord watches over all men. He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He provides for all. He gives common grace to all. And He hears all of us. You know, even if you are an unbeliever here today or an atheist, you know, it will be most certain that at some point in your life, you will have prayed, you will have cried out to God. When you are in a bad situation, when there is some crisis, some calamity, you will cry out to the Lord. And the Lord hears us. There is common grace. I was telling the young boys, or the older boys in our college class or Friday meeting perhaps, about a plane flight it was actually a pastor who went on this plane flight. But on this flight, there was great turbulence, and it was getting very serious, and people didn't know whether the flight would actually land, whether they would survive. And this pastor said to me, you know, every single person on that flight was praying. They were praying to God. Didn't matter whether they were atheist or whether they had a church background, every single person was praying on that flight to the Lord. And of course, the turbulence eased and everything was all right. And then, of course, what happened? Well, they went back to their atheism. They went back to their drinking. They didn't give thanks, of course not. Well, it's a picture here. These 10 lepers, it's almost like they're a picture of humanity. God gives His grace to all of humanity, all 10 lepers, they are cleansed. But how many actually give thanks? Only a few, only just one. So many people in this world, so many people in this community who have very comfortable lives and very comfortable homes and large families and big cars, God has blessed them with so much. Do they want to thank God? No. It's only just that 1%, as it were, just that remnant that comes back to give thanks. So it's a picture of that. It's like these lepers, they represent humanity. And only one comes back to give thanks to God. Well, we know this, of course. Christianity is always the narrow way. Our Lord said this, didn't He, in the Sermon on the Mount. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Christianity is the narrow way, just the one in ten. Everyone else follows the world, the broad way. And so it's a picture here. Only a few will acknowledge God. Only a few will turn to him and thank him for their lives. Just the one in ten. Dear friends, where are you this morning? Are you following the way of the world, the broad way, which, as the Lord says, leadeth to destruction? Or are you like that one man who turns to the Lord? I must thank him. I'm nothing without him at all. So that's the first heading we can bring to this wonderful account. But secondly, what this account teaches us is the importance of soul over the body. The importance of soul, or the inner man, over the outer man. Now, the nine lepers, of course, they are obviously delighted that they have been cleansed of their leprosy. They are delighted that physically they are back to full health. They were physically sick, but now they are physically well in their bodies. But this one man, the Samaritan, he wants something deeper, doesn't he? He doesn't just want to be physically healed. He wants to know the Lord. He goes back to the Lord. He wants to give him thanks. He wants a deeper relationship with him. It's not just the physical healing that is important. He wants to know the Lord and to be devoted to him. And the Lord commends him, doesn't he, at the end of this account. He says, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." You see, he has faith. He has something within, not just a bodily healing, but there is something within him. He has faith. And so, dear friends, I say this very often, but you know, Christianity is an inward work. It is not just something that blesses our bodies, not something that is outward. It is something that is inward. Do you have that in you? Do you have that faith in you? You know, sometimes, and I say this sensitively, but you know, sometimes you meet people and they will say to you, you know, I follow the Lord because of some healing of the body. You know, I was sick, or I had a bad back, and the Lord, well, he healed me, and it's wonderful. And I agree with them. Yes, it's wonderful. And the Lord really did heal you. If you are healed, yes, it's the Lord. But what matters most is, do you have faith? Do you have faith? It's one thing to have physical health, perfect physical health, but do you actually have faith? You see, this was the difference between this man, this Samaritan, and all the others. Oh, we praise God that we're physically well. But dear friend, what about your soul? This is the greater healing, of course, is it not? The soul. It's the soul that needs to be saved. The physical body, yes, it can be in great condition, but your soul is most important. Your soul lasts forever. When you leave this life, your body will die, but where will your soul go after this life? This is what we always say. You've heard this a million times. The soul needs to be saved. It's the soul that has the greatest sickness. You know, they had physical leprosy, but we read, of course, in the scriptures that we have a greater sickness than leprosy in our souls. We are sin sick. We are sinners by nature. We lie, we steal, we lust, we covet. We don't want God. We don't want to thank God. This is part of our sin sickness. It's the soul that needs to be healed. And this one man, he realized that. He wasn't just happy with his physical health and, oh, everything's going well outwardly. He needed something more, something deeper. That was important. He needs that healing of the soul. Dear friends, this is so important. And this was so relevant at the time. Those who were outwardly religious, they had no faith. The Pharisees, remember, the Lord would say to them, You are outwardly religious. You honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. And so here we see someone who's the opposite. He's not just honoring the Lord with his lips. He's drawing near to the Lord with his heart. Don't be like the Pharisees, dear friend. This is a warning for us. Those who are just outwardly religious, dear friends, it's not enough. We have to have that inward work. We have to know the Lord. We have to have true faith. And so this is something very important for us to remember, of course, is it not? The soul is greater than the body. So that's my second heading, the second lesson that we have to learn from this tremendous account. But thirdly, this account teaches us the importance of humility. The importance of humility. What is it exactly that sets this man apart, this Samaritan? Well, it is his humility. He goes back to the Lord and look at the description. He falls down on his face at his feet. He's not too proud to do that. He is humble before the Lord. And the sense that you get here that comes through very clearly is this man knows that he doesn't deserve the healing. He doesn't deserve it. He's humbled himself. He knows that he has to go back and give thanks. But all the others, you see, when anybody refuses to give thanks, when there is a lack of thankfulness in the heart, one of the reasons why that is because you think you deserve something. You don't give thanks for what you feel you deserve. Why should I be thankful for this or for that? I deserve it. I deserve this. And that is why people in the world, they don't give thanks to God. All the people in their comfortable homes and their comfortable lives, they're not going to thank God. They feel they deserve it. It's the spirit of the age. We deserve this. We deserve that. And so they're not going to give thanks. You don't give thanks for something you feel you deserve. But this man, well, he does. He knows that he doesn't deserve this healing. The other nine, maybe they felt they deserved it. Maybe they felt that God had been unkind in giving them leprosy in the first place. Now we're healed. We deserve it. Now we get what we deserve. But dear friends, look at the example of this man. He knows he doesn't deserve it, and he comes and he lies at the Lord's feet and he gives him thanks. Dear friends, this is how we come to the Lord. If there are any seekers here, and I know there must be, or listening to this, you come to the Lord, you say, Lord, I want to be saved. I want to know you. I want to know the blessing of being saved, but I know I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to be saved. I don't deserve to be forgiven all my sin, all the things that I've done. When I think about my sins, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve a place in heaven. Dear friends, if you think that you deserve a place in heaven because of your good works, you can never truly draw near to the Lord. Look at this man. He comes humbly. I must give thanks. The Lord has been so gracious to me. Salvation, this healing, is something that I could never have deserved. But the Lord has been so kind to me. He has saved me freely. That's how we approach the Lord. That is what the Lord has done. It's the gospel of grace. We can never deserve to be right with God, no matter how good we are, because we have sinned in our lives. But this is what the Lord has done. He has taken the punishment upon himself for our sin. I will die in their place. I will suffer in their place, that they may be forgiven. We don't deserve it, of course not, but Christ takes the punishment for us. And we know that this is our faith. This is our faith, that we are saved by grace. And we are so thankful to the Lord. He has given me everlasting life when I could never have deserved it. Peace and joy when I could never have deserved it. And this is why I serve him and I love him. and I sit in willing bonds beneath his feet. Dear friends, this man is an example of humility, and this is the humility, the kind of humility that we all need if we are to truly know the Lord. We don't deserve salvation. We deserve damnation, but Christ was condemned in our place. So, dear friends, those three applications, I come now to my last heading, the final heading. This account teaches us of the surprise of faith. That's the title I've given my fourth heading, the surprise of faith. Now, it is a sad thing to say. I hesitate to say it even now. But it's a sad thing to say that, you know, nowadays it is actually a surprising thing to see somebody who truly has faith. I meet many people who profess Christianity, who profess to be Christians. Sadly, they tend to fall in the group of the nine. Those who will say that they follow God and say God has done this and God has done that, but they don't really know him. They don't really know what it is to be saved. They don't have faith, true faith, that inward work. So when you find somebody like that, that's normally a surprise to me. It's a good surprise, but it's quite rare. It's normally the one in 10. You meet many Christians, there'll only be a few that truly have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that truly know him. But dear friends, I have to put that exhortation to you. We have to examine ourselves. It's always a surprise when we see true faith and true repentance. But the surprise here in this context, and I haven't touched on it yet, I'll leave it to the end, is that he was a Samaritan. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Why is that important? Well, because the Samaritans were despised. Of all the people who would find favor with God, they were the least likely. They were the ones, well, they themselves were unclean. They were descendants of the northern tribe of Israel, but they were the worst of the lot because they had intermarried with pagans and people from the other regions. They were despised of the Jews. The Samaritans, we hate them. They will never be accepted by God. And yet, this is the surprise. It's the Samaritan who draws near to the Lord. It's the Samaritan who is commended. It's the Samaritan who has true faith. This is what the Lord declares. There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. The least likely person. Well, dear friends, are you the least likely person here this morning? You're sitting here and you're even saying to yourself, I'm the least likely person to be saved. I'm a stranger like this Samaritan. I'm a stranger to the things of God. The gospel is just for other people. It's not for me at all. Dear friends, look at these words. Look at this account. He is the one that was saved. God is able to save you. The door is open for you. Christian history is full of people who were the least likely to be saved coming to the Lord. We know all about the Apostle Paul, the one who persecuted the Christians, wanted them all put to death, imprisoned them. He became the greatest servant of Christ, the least likely one. He becomes the greatest servant. Sometimes in Sunday school classes or in families, you look at the children, and I've heard this many times. Parents will say to you, my son, my daughter is saved. You know, he was the least likely person out of all my children to be saved. But the Lord saved him. Dear friends, no matter how far you feel from the Lord, no matter what your objections or your atheism, the Lord has saved worst cases than you. And he will continue to do so. So, dear friends, you must turn to the Lord. The door is open to you. That is what I'm trying to say. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what you look like outwardly. It doesn't matter what you have done in the body, what sins you have committed in the body. If you have that inward faith, the Lord will see that. He will receive you. He will bless you forever. You will know that joy and peace that comes with believing. You must turn to Him. Just obey. Obey the Lord. Remember the first point that I made all that time ago now? Don't quibble. Don't question. Don't say to me, but Pastor this, but Pastor that. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. Just obey the Lord. Just repent and have faith, and you will be saved. This is what the lepers did, of course. That's one of the lessons. Just obey. Just turn to the Lord. Pray to Him. He will hear you. You will be eternally blessed. Well, I hope this intriguing passage has been made a little more clearer for us. What wonderful gospel lessons we have to learn. May the Lord bless them to us.